All right. Good morning. We are here with Victor Naka in Zimbabwe. And Victor, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, tell us what's going on in Zimbabwe.
Well, I'm actually in South Africa. Some of you already know that we've been living in Johannesburg, South Africa for the last 3.5 years. Yeah, but you know, we're in touch with you know, friends and family members in Zimbabwe, especially our presbytery. Yeah, so yeah, I guess everyone is interested to hear about the COVID situation. you know, when COVID-19 began and you know the lockdown, you know, the numbers, you know, right across the continent of Africa were very low. And so, you know, we were all thanking God that, perhaps, you know, COVID-19 had avoided, the continent. But what we're beginning to see now, especially with the, you know, with the Delta variant, which is spreading very quickly, it's highly infectious. It's making even young people sick. So what we're seeing is that because most African countries, you know, have very poor economies, and often the health sector or the healthcare sector, you know, underfunded, you know, often, you know, the wheels have even fallen off. So when you end up with high infection rates and high death rates, it basically means that the health system cannot cope. So we are seeing that in South Africa. We're seeing it, you know, in Zimbabwe, Malawi, Ethiopia, you know, all the countries where we have our, you know, missionaries, you know, Uganda. We meet every other Friday, with, you know, representatives from all the locations we have our missionary families. And we do an update, and we pray together. And the situation, yeah, has been very difficult. You know, in Dakar, Senegal, almost all our missionaries have had COVID, you know, and have recovered. You know, of late, you know, Colin and Zuri, who are our first RUF missionaries, you know, they struggled through 2-3 weeks, you know, but they have recovered. Maybe, you know, one concern is that, just like in the US, you know, we still have many, many people who are not willing to get vaccinated for various reasons. You know, some of them religious. In fact, yesterday I bumped into two people. You know, one, guy towed my car. I was taking my wife to the airport, and, you know, I had a radiator problem. And the tow guy, you know, was talking to me and he said, no, he's not going to get vaccinated. He doesn't trust the vaccine. Yeah. And then the other guy, you know, delivered gas to my house and I was asking him, he's an older guy. He said the same thing. So yeah, there are issues of trust. And so, we still have large populations who are not interested in the vaccination. And that is not going to be helpful when it comes to, you know, trying to develop, herd immunity, you know, that will help, you know, the nation, you know, to kind of deal with COVID. But we are safe. We have been very careful. Some of you know, my wife has a chronic kidney problem. And so we have had to be very careful, you know, when we go out, we, you know, she hasn't been to church for months now. You know, and then I go to the church plant where we're helping. But you know, we're being very careful. So we thank God that, you know, the family is safe.
Great. Yeah. Well, so how are things going at the seminary?
Well, yeah, again, I don't know what information you're looking at, David. So, yeah, so, you know, I'm no longer, you know, at the seminary apart from, you know, I supervise, you know, PhD and master students at the South African Theological Seminary. Yeah. So I have two PhDs I'm supervising right now and one master's. And they seem to be doing quite well despite, you know, complications of COVID and all that. Often the problem is on my side. I have to remain focused so that whatever they send to me, I can read and make, constructive comments so right. that they can see their research through. But otherwise, the seminary is doing quite well because, all their students are, distance, students online, students. And so, anyone who has mastered, the off campus online, mode of delivery, has done well because, COVID, hasn't affected their student enrollment at all. In fact, they have attracted more students, because, most seminaries that do in-person training have not been able to do so for the last year and a half.
How are you mentioned the church, your wife hasn't been to church. Are the churches there able to do any kind of virtual or outdoor services to during this time?
So if you take South Africa and Zimbabwe, the lockdown, it has been on and off. Like South Africa, went up to level 3, where they stopped all, gatherings of more than 50 people. Now they've opened it up, again, as long as people social distance and sanitize and all that. Some churches, have been in a hurry, to start meeting. Our church plant, which is about 25 people, started in-person services, 2 weeks ago. The numbers are small enough for people to social distance, and still be able to worship together. But most of the bigger churches, they have decided to just continue with online services, until, they can, get back to normal, whatever normal is going to look like. Our presbytery back home in Zimbabwe, they haven't done in-person, for the last 6 or so months. They put sermons, online. They also use WhatsApp. In fact, most churches, are using WhatsApp to send, sermons, and songs to sing, because most people can afford WhatsApp as opposed to, going to YouTube or, having, a website, where you upload, your sermons. So that has been the trend. And I think it's going to continue like this, maybe up to the end of the year, until, we see, above 50%, of the population vaccinated. And then, governments relaxing, the restrictions. But everyone is keeping an eye, I think, on the infection rate. Sure. You go along. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, how are your daughters doing? I see one's in law school or is working to get her law degree.
The daughters, they're doing well. So the one in law school has just completed her degree. She got her results, I think, a week or so ago. So she passed, waiting for graduation.
Great.
Yeah. But then in order to make herself marketable, she will go and do a 1 year law master's degree in intellectual property. Because she has been looking at, where are the gaps, what skills do I need, to become employable and all that. So she should be graduating in November, December. We're looking forward to that. And then she'll spend a year, doing this master's. We're very excited. We're celebrating her success. And then our eldest daughter, who is married, 2 grandsons, the husband is at school as well, doing a degree in music, sound engineering. They're doing quite well. They actually, lived with us, because, you know, he has to go to school. And so we're trying to help out, you know, looking after the grandkids. And okay. We're enjoying that. Yeah.
But how are the grandkids?
The oldest is 2 years and 3 months, and the youngest is 9 months.
Little kids.
Yeah. So yeah, they're still very young. Yeah.
Fun. Great. So, you have a conference coming up in October. Is that still on, or has that been postponed?
We had to postpone, all conferences.
Yeah.
We had a retreat, that was supposed to come up in July. We postponed that. So we're basically not taking any chances. Any in-person gathering for this year, we have had to postpone. And then it's basically wait and see, see how things unfold in the new year.
Has the presbytery or I know you guys said you have, you have regular calls, but have there been any virtual conferences, that have been going on just to get people connected?
Oh, yeah. That we have been able to do. So talking of presbyteries, some of you have heard me talk about, church planting as our primary mission, priority here. But in order for that to make sense, we are also trying to emphasize the starting formation of presbyteries. And we're very excited how God has led. So we have a presbytery in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. It's called Bulawayo Presbytery. Made up of a number of rural churches and city churches. And that is going on very well. And then our newest presbytery is the Cape Town one. In fact, they have started, what they've called the, Reformed Presbyterian Church of South Africa. And so we have a number of churches in Cape Town. We have a church in Durban, and then we have a church plant in Johannesburg that I'm part of, helping out, the young pastor there, Sisle, and his family. So that is also taking off. In fact, Timothy Gallage, who is our regional director for Southern Africa, lives in Cape Town. And he was part of the strategic planning a few weeks ago. And they have now come up with, a 10-year vision that highlights the number of churches they want to plant, the number of campus ministries, they want to start, the number of, leaders they want to train. And so that is looking really good, with Cape Town. And then obviously, in West Africa, we have, what could be our most established presbytery, Presbyterian Church of Senegal, with offices in Dakar. And again, they decided, to help out with, all the church plants in the neighboring countries, in West Africa. So, the church plants in the Gambia, for example, they kind of come under, that presbytery. You look at, Guinea-Bissau, Cote d'Ivoire, you look at Togo, they're doing a good job of helping out with all the church plants in the neighboring countries. Again, the reason why this is happening is because, really we cannot win, in terms of planting churches, training leaders, coming alongside these church leaders, without setting up presbyteries. So we want to see healthy presbyteries, formed, and that is, beginning, to happen. And then we have something really brewing in Malawi, with Confex Mwakalila. He has been planting for more than a year. And there are three other churches that are part of what he's doing. So we're very excited. And we've decided to just take baby steps, because, in order, to start healthy presbyteries, you need well-trained leaders.
Yeah.
And so if you rush it, you end up with church plants without leaders or without well-trained leaders. So we're taking one step at a time, do it right, learn from our mistakes. Our missionaries, are also coming alongside, avoiding doing anything, that our partners can do for themselves, right? So that right from the get-go, our role is to resource, to equip, to mentor, to disciple. We don't repeat the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, that's great. Have you seen any, have you been able to church plant during COVID? Have you planted new churches, or has that gone on pause as well?
Well, interestingly enough, we have had three church launches during COVID. So one of the, church plants in Buluwayo, Zimbabwe, led by Mitch Spence, it's called Hope Presbyterian Church. They launched during COVID, almost beginning of the year. And then, 6 months ago, Renewal Presbyterian Church that we are part of also launched, during COVID. And then in Cape Town, Wesley Marshall, launched, during COVID. So I think the thinking is that, COVID, does provide, a situation where people are desperate to come out.
Yeah.
And so when there's opportunity to do that, why not?
Yeah.
So absolutely. We've had about three church plants, launched during COVID.
That's great.
Good news.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to ask? Go ahead, Jean.
David, I've lost my video with y'all, but can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Victor, approximately how many pastors and churches do you have, are you responsible for overseeing?
I am not directly responsible for the church plants. Just trying to add the number of church plants, that, kind of come under, what we're trying to do. So we have about 20 churches, church plants. But I'm not directly responsible for them because, since coming in as the International Director of Africa, I've appointed regional directors for each region. Jim Weaver is responsible for West Africa. So when I talk about what is happening in the Gambia and Cote d'Ivoire, right? Jim Weaver is directly responsible, for that as he works with other missionaries. And then, Timothy Gallagher is responsible for Southern Africa. And so he oversees what is happening in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, in Malawi. Frank Sindler is our East Africa regional director. He has a more complex task, because East Africa has a lot of Presbyterian activity going on, right? But we are working with, what has been formed recently, which is, the Reformed Church of East Africa, with our missionaries in Kampala, Uganda, and some in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And then we are making our way into the DRC and into Kenya, but also into Tanzania. And next year in October, we will have a gathering, of all these churches so that they can begin to talk to each other. So I'm not directly, involved except for the church plant that I'm part of here in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
So when you're planting these churches and starting the presbytery, I guess what's the process been for kind of getting those you know smaller churches together to form their presbytery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, if I give you the South Africa example, so in Cape Town, South Africa, you know, we have traditionally had one partner, you know, established church called Grace Presbyterian Church. And Grace Presbyterian Church then, you know, planted three other churches, church plants, you know, in Cape Town. When we partnered with them, and they said they wanted to start a presbytery, right? They brought those three churches and then they invited a church in Durban. The church planter is a graduate of Westminster, California. And when he came back, he reached out to us and said he wanted to plant a Presbyterian church. So he has been planting for more than a year. And so we invited him to be part of that group. And then we invited the church in Johannesburg to be part of that group. And so they had their first face-to-face meeting, 3 weeks ago, you know, which Tim Gallagher, our missionary in Cape Town, also attended. Where they are, you know, beginning to look at the book of church order, what does it mean to be Presbyterian, you know, and all that. So those are basically the beginnings, you know, of this, presbytery. And you could say the same thing, you know, to what is happening in Zimbabwe. So what we're seeing is that, the presbytery, as it grows, it will attract, a number of different, churches, right? So yeah, one, sure. It's churches that have been planted, you know, from within the presbytery, right? But the other one are churches that have been planted, whoever has planted feels they're on their own, but they're reformed. And so they reach out to, you know, the presbytery and say, can we be part of this? And then the third one are actually, you know, local churches that are pulling out of denominations that have become liberal. And so you can see how, you know, complex this could be because, you know, these new presbyteries have to be ready, you know, to work with these relationships, you know, so that they don't inherit, you know, perennial problems. but generally, I think that's how it's going to work out. You know, those that have been planted from within, you know, those that planted independently, and then they want to be part of the presbytery. And then we have, local churches that would have pulled out of their denomination for various reasons, and they're looking for a new home.
That's great. Yeah. So it sounds like each presbytery has at least a stable church, kind of a parent church or so, something
correct.
That help guide the path as they form.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So if you look at, you know, Cape Town, there is, you know, a more established church. You look at Zimbabwe, there is a more established church. But it's not true across the board because, you know, sure. If you look at what is happening in Malawi, you know, Confex, you know, he has planted a church, and he had two other friends who planted, and they've come together. But these are young leaders. And that's why, you know, one of the needs, is for us to find, seasoned, you know, PCA pastors who are prepared to do some serious mentoring, because, you know, some of these leaders, they have never really been part of a more traditional Presbyterian setup. And so they don't know, you know, they've never experienced what it is to be Presbyterian, right? They have never, you know, read the Westminster Confession, or they've never had a book of church order in their hands. And so the need for, you know, for mentoring. Another classic example is Sierra Leone. And Sierra Leone is, you know, is also in West Africa. The small denomination was started by the Korean Presbyterians, and then they took off and the wheels fell off. and now they're trying to reorganize. So, you know, now you have a denomination of, 8 to 10 churches, but they only have 2 teaching elders, right? You know, how does that happen?
Yeah, right? that's a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, and the good thing with, you know, the Sierra Leone Presbyterian churches, they also have 7 interns, you know, who are waiting for ordination, but they need teaching elders who can help, you know, prepare them, you know, for ordination. So Frank, for example, 3 months ago, he took a group of PCA pastors and spent 2 weeks in Sierra Leone, you know, just doing training, you know, trying to help these interns. But like I said, you know, preparation like that is too important to be rushed. And so, you know, you really have to be careful that, you know, we're not rushing people into ordination, because we could end up with problems. Yeah. So there is a critical need for mentorship. The kind that will really help these young church planters, you know, as they do their work.
That's good. That's good. Good to know. We'll definitely pray for that. I guess we're getting to that time. We'd love to pray for you. We've got some on the prayer request, I think, that you sent in. You know, we obviously see those, and COVID obviously is a big one. And excuse me. You know, I think just praying for these new presbyteries and church plants, obviously. What else specifically can we pray for you?
Yeah, if we could, you know, if we could just, plan for, pray for me and the team, right? You know, I have a team of, regional directors and country directors. So, you know, 3 years on, we are now at that point where we need to do some, you know, more integrated, planning, you know, for the continent of Africa. So we have started talking about it. And Africa is very diverse. So we almost have to start by identifying what is common to all of us, you know, what is different, what is, you know, most important for us to work on. So if you could just pray for wisdom, really, as I lead the team in planning, so that, you know, we can end up with a more integrated strategic plan, you know, for the continent, instead of 3, you know, separate plans.
Yeah. I can imagine that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, Judy, would you mind starting us off, and then I'll wrap us up?
Okay. I'll be glad to. Thank you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had to be able to visit with Victor this morning, and just for this exciting news that he's shared with us about the way in which you are moving and working in Africa. We just pray for wisdom for him as he oversees the work of MTW missionaries and these growing partnerships with these African pastors and churches and leaders, and that the transforming work of the gospel just would move forward and grace would abound. We pray for more Reformed Presbyterian churches to be planted, and that you would raise up the leadership that's necessary to make this happen. We thank you, Lord, for the success of these new, healthy Reformed presbyteries that have been formed, especially during COVID, as we have excitedly, as we've talked to different missionaries, seeing how you have moved in an amazing way, even during this COVID period. And we pray for those pastors who have are recovering from COVID, and just pray that as Jehovah Rapha, you would touch them and heal them and restore their land as well as ours, Lord, and just heal those who are suffering from this disease. And we just pray that you would take it away, Lord, and restore health across the world. Father, we do pray too that you would raise up mentors for these church planters, and that you would just continue to do the mighty work that has been started here. And, we just ask that you'll bless and that you will just continue to work mightily. And, we just commit all of these, all of these prayer requests to you. And we also rejoice with Victor over, his daughter's, graduation from law school, and pray you would, continue to bless this upcoming year of work on her master's degree as well. And I just pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this time and the technology that enables us to connect and hear from a brother across the world who is doing your work. Lord, thank you for the place that we are in history where we can see the events of our time shaping our future. And Lord, even such a horrible thing as the COVID pandemic being used for your glory. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for being on the throne and yet not being so far away that you'd refuse to get involved in our affairs down here on earth. Lord, I pray that you would be near to Pastor Victor and to all of the students and the pastors that are following his direction and the direction of these presbyteries. Lord, I pray you would be near in helping them mentor, in helping them resource, equip, and disciple those underneath them. Lord, I pray also for the students and those who are being discipled that they would be teachable and understand rightly what you would have them to learn and become more discerning and more wise to meet the needs of their congregations and to speak the truth in love in a way that honors you, but that also meets people and churches where they are at. Lord, I pray for this team of Pastor Victor's that is planning strategically in the big picture for the continent of Africa. Lord, so many factors to consider and wisdom that is needed. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that your Holy Spirit would guide them, that you would protect them from the attacks of the evil one, that you would strengthen and encourage their hearts and their families as they think about ministering your word on such a grand level. Lord, I pray that your will would be done and that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time with Victor this morning. And again, as Shannon said, with this technology that we can be in different places and still be connected. And we all know we're connected through your son, Jesus. And we just thank you for that. We pray for Victor and his family and just that you would continue to keep them safe and healthy and be with his daughter who's going to be working on her master's degree. We just thank you that you were faithful in helping her to get through law school. And we just pray for Victor's son-in-law who's in school as well and those grandkids. Just pray that you would help them all to enjoy their time together and just, again, keep them safe, especially with COVID. And we pray for COVID and just around the world, but in Africa especially, and pray for the healthcare system. Just that you would keep the healthcare workers encouraged. We know how stressful this is on them, especially having to deal with all the different precautions they have to take just in their daily work. We pray that you would just encourage them and give them strength and endurance to get through this time. We pray for all those that are sick, that they would get the help that they need and that they would heal and that you would just be with them. We pray for all the new church plants, especially those that have just been formed, and that they would be successful and grow and spread your word to others. And that these churches would just flourish and be lights in this dark world. We pray for the presbyteries that they would find the structure and mentorship that they need and you would guide these presbyteries as they form and grow, and that churches that aren't in these presbyteries would and that need to be would find their way in, and these networks would just support each other, and we just thank you that that there is a network of support, and that these church, that these existing churches have, and presbyteries have offered to reach out and help. And we just pray that that spirit of cooperation would continue to grow. We do pray for our mentors to step up and, to be available to, these new church plants, and, that there would be that need met, and that they would help, teaching elders to rise up and, become effective and in their churches, and to become mentors themselves. We pray for Victor and his team, and just that you'd give them wisdom and becoming strategic planning that they're working on. Africa is such a big and diverse country, and help them to find the common grounds that they need, and to acknowledge their differences, and just help them to all focus on you, and that we're all made in your image, God, and that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of all of us, and help that be the driving force behind everything.
Yes, Lord.
God, we just thank you for this time again. We pray that you go before us, help us all stay well, and help us to visit with Victor again soon. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.